Find all the case information you need faster. Smart litigators rely on Bloomberg Law's broad litigation news coverage and our market-leading dockets. Now with AI-driven search and analytics, customized alerts, and expansive state court coverage. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com for everything you need to win.
Look who's late on their utility bills and can't keep the lights on. It's Uncle Sam. Today we hear about an epic fail at an important federal agency that left invoices unpaid and left its own employees holding the bag. Hello, you're listening to On the Merits, the news podcast from Bloomberg Law and Bloomberg Government. I'm your host, David Schultz. So in total full disclosure, I happen to have a lot of friends and family who work for the federal government, and probably as a result, I think bureaucrats don't deserve the bad reputation they sometimes get. But then I hear about stories like the one we're covering today, and it gets a lot harder to hold that view. Last year, the Department of Commerce rolled out a new payments system for one of its sub-agencies, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. They're the ones that oversee the National Weather Service. And the rollout of that payment system has been nothing short of a fiasco. As you'll soon hear, Weather Service employees stop getting reimbursed for their on-the-job expenses, and utility bills at critical Weather Service facilities stop getting paid. The department's inspector general already looked into this, but today's guest found out that the problems with this botched transition go far deeper than even the IG report led on. Jack Fitzpatrick, a reporter with Bloomberg Government, joins us to talk about what went wrong at the Department of Commerce and whether its other sub-agencies will have to face the same problems. I started off by asking Jack how he learned this was happening in the first place, and he said he actually stumbled onto it when researching another Weather Service problem.
I wanted to look into possibly another unrelated story because for a couple of years I've noticed lawmakers complaining about a lack of staffing, understaffing, tough sort of staff morale issues at the National Weather Service. And the union that represents National Weather Service employees got a new president. I reached out and said, would you like to talk about this issue that affects the workforce? And she said yes. And we talked a bit about that. And she said, you know, there's a much more important and immediate issue that no one has covered that's affecting my employees because they're not getting paid travel reimbursements. And they're saying that there are big issues with us not paying our electric bills. So we talked about that. She said, here's what I understand. I followed up with other people who were affected by it. But I kind of backed into this one because I just happened to get in touch with the head of the National Weather Service Employees Union.
But let's just, so we're all on the same page, make sure we know what happened here. So employees not getting reimbursed, electric bills not getting paid. This is pretty bad stuff. Why was all this going on?
They put in place a new payment system, a new financial system that didn't work at first with getting the money out the door for invoices or travel reimbursements. Fortunately, salaries didn't seem to have an issue, at least not to my knowledge, but invoices from vendors didn't get paid. Even if at the local level, the head of a National Weather Service office paid the bill, the Treasury had an issue getting the data from their new system into their system and getting the money out the door. So this is at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Commerce, the Department of Commerce, instituted this and said, we're rolling this out at NOAA first. We'll roll it out at other agencies within Commerce moving forward. They were the first people to have this business applications solution system. And the start of it was not very successful because there were data issues that just blocked the money from going out.
Yeah, and we should say, you know, welcome to Washington, D.C. Here's the sort of nesting doll of federal agencies. You have the Department of Commerce, and then below that is NOAA. They're the ones that had to implement this new payment service. And below NOAA is the National Weather Service, which was the one that was, I get the sense, most affected by this, that they experienced very, very severe problems. Tell me about what some National Weather Service employees went through you know, as a result of these issues.
Yeah, well, there was actually a grievance filed by the union representing them. That was sort of the starting point for my reporting, because they said there were 25 employees who were owed, in some cases, thousands of dollars in travel reimbursements. I spoke to one meteorologist, Rich Thompson, whose job is to travel to emergencies. So major wildfires, if a hurricane hits, he is the meteorologist or one of a team of meteorologists who will travel to that location and give updates to the wildland firefighters, give updates to the public. It's helpful to have a meteorologist on hand. He was sent in late October to Northern California for a major series of fires there and racked up $5,400 in travel expenses. The way the system is supposed to work with their travel expenses is this is a government travel card, but it's your responsibility to pay it. So you say what your expenses were. Your employer, the federal government, pays you that amount in a reasonable amount of time. You pay off the card. Everything works out. They did not pay him. He could not pay off the card. And his concern for more than 5 months was, if I get sent somewhere, I won't be able to afford any of the costs unless I use my personal card. And he didn't want to do that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this government card that he had was maxed out, right? He'd reached the credit limit on that because the government hadn't reimbursed him for this credit card bill.
Yeah, he actually negotiated an extension. He initially had a $5,000 limit, he said. He had $5,400 in expenses. They bumped it up enough to cover that, so there wasn't a major issue, but he did not have enough room still. They bumped it up by about $1,000, so about a $6,000 limit. But he didn't have enough room to finance another trip. So this sort of emergency meteorologist told his bosses over and over again, we need to get this taken care of. Can you figure this out? And for more than 5 months, from late October until the very beginning of April, was not paid back and was hoping that weather would be good and he wouldn't be dispatched somewhere where he would rack up a bunch of travel expenses because he couldn't afford it.
And again, just to reiterate, I mean, this is obvious, but we're not talking about a startup company here that's struggling to pay its invoices. We're not talking about a private company. We're talking about the federal government failing to pay its own bills, and not because of a government shutdown or something Congress did. This is just basic sort of bureaucratic problems that are causing the government to be able to fail to pay its bills, right? I mean, this is amazing.
And this was a complaint that I heard from several different angles. I heard the concern from the meteorologist, Rich Thompson. I heard the concern from county emergency management officials, from local National Weather Service people, that there's a really positive working relationship between, say, an emergency management agency or an airport and the local office of the National Weather Service. And they kind of leaned on that goodwill for a while. But the higher-ups from the Washington, D.C. level at the Department of Commerce instituted this, and there wasn't a heads-up. There wasn't really an explanation or a notice saying this is going to lead to power outages because we are not able to pay our electric bills right now. From the federal government level, it was a frustrating experience for people who say this does not make the federal government look good. There's a lot of trust in the local offices, but this is a case of DC sort of coming down from on high and making big mistakes.
Yeah, and I want to linger just a little bit on those power outages because I really want to reiterate, this is exactly what you, the listener, think it is, where if you didn't pay the power bill on your house, the lights would get shut off. This happened but with the National Weather Service and at airports. Like, there were systems that the National Weather Service runs at small local airports that were shut down because the power was off in those buildings.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't know exactly how widespread it is. That's an answer that the Inspector General report didn't provide, and officials have declined to answer questions on how many different electric companies they were not paying for a while. But I did find examples and confirm with local people affected by it that an airport in Rome, Georgia, for a day lost access to a system that is supposed to provide weather information to pilots. And there was a stroke of luck that the day that it got shut down, the weather was good and it didn't make that much of a difference. They made some calls, eventually got it back up the next day. There was a case in Alabama where NOAA weather radio, a lot of people rely on it, especially if you're in Tornado Alley. This was in sort of north central Alabama, so it was important there. It was down for about 2 weeks because they didn't pay their electric bill and they lost power to the transmitter for the radio. It's a strange thing to hear the federal government struggle with, but it really, in at least some cases, was them not paying the bill, not being communicative enough to work something else out, and losing electricity to some of their facilities that do pertain to emergencies.
Has this been fixed? Because, you know, the Inspector General's report said that the Commerce Department told it that this would be fixed by the end of January. But as you noted in your story, it wasn't. Has it been fixed now?
It is evidently in the process of being fixed. It may be the case that the technical issues have entirely been worked out, although no one has said explicitly, we've totally worked that out. There certainly is still somewhat of a backlog. I was just told recently by Rich Thompson that he did get his money after months of waiting. So there appears to be progress in working through that backlog. But when you read that IG report and there's the goal of getting this done earlier, the initial plan didn't work out. It has taken much longer than anticipated to pay the bills. And even in cases where they figured out how to work through the system, they needed to then process these payments. So it may not be proactively causing new issues right now, but there definitely are cases where people are waiting on their money to come through still.
Still to this day.
Yes. They have not figured it all out. The one question that was answered by high-level NOAA officials was they are still working through it currently to fix it. That doesn't mean that the system doesn't work, but they had a huge backlog of thousands of payments, tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars that hadn't gone through. And there's at least some money that they're still working on getting through at this point.
Let's talk about accountability. And what I mean by that is, you know, essentially who's to blame here. I kind of identified three different buckets of potential people to point the finger at, you know, and I'm guessing that probably some combination of all three are to blame. You know, you have the people at the Commerce Department who messed up, you know, who just, there's no other way to put it. They, you know, made mistakes. You also probably have some contractors that were hired to work with the Commerce Department to roll this out that, you know, took the money and didn't do what they were supposed to do. But then you also have congressional appropriators. It's their job to fund federal agencies like these. And as you mentioned, there are serious staffing issues at, you know, this federal agency and many others. What do you think about that? If you had to pin the blame on one of those three or all of those three, who would you blame?
From what I understand, and unfortunately, there still are a lot of questions that federal officials have not answered, despite me giving them a couple weeks to try to provide some information. From what I understand, the issue is largely the high-level Department of Commerce, possibly NOAA issues. There were technical difficulties with the actual system, but they were supposed to test run it to figure out how to run the data through it ahead of time. The testing clearly did not do that. So there might be as many human errors in the preparatory work as there are technical issues. I don't think you can necessarily blame the system itself because they were supposed to test this. As far as accountability goes, we might be at the early end of this process. There was the IG report, but there hasn't been a lot of pressure on the high-level federal officials to explain themselves. They have not publicly offered explanations of what exactly went wrong, how they should have done it differently. The big theme I heard was it was not local officials' faults. They put in the stuff they were supposed to do to pay their bills. I talked to somebody at the Huntsville, Alabama office whose bill was not paid, and he said, on my end, it was paid. The money didn't come out of the Treasury. So there were issues in implementing the system, and there has not been a lot of accountability from the higher-ups at the Department of Commerce and within it NOAA to explain exactly what happened and say, here's how we're going to do better when they roll this out to the Census Bureau in a couple years.
Right. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that leads me to my last question, which is, what's next? You mentioned in your story that the Commerce Department plans on rolling out this payment system to other sub-agencies within it, including the Census Department and NIST. That, if I were working at NIST or the Census Department, that would make me very, very nervous. Do you still see that happening? And if so, do you think that, you know, there's a chance that it could go better than whatever this was?
There is a chance to learn from the mistakes, clearly, so hopefully it goes better. I think there's reason for some nerves there. You're right that NIST is next in line. They're supposed to implement this in fiscal year 2025, then the Census Bureau in fiscal 2026. When I spoke to the chief meteorologist in Huntsville, Alabama, I said, what are the lessons learned here? Because you personally have struggled with the logistics here. And he said, you do have to be upfront with vendors who you're working with that there will be challenges. You can tell them that this system is going to be good, but you have to tell them upfront there are going to be growing pains. We're going to need to work with you to figure out how to use the system. The vendors they're supposed to pay also are supposed to be able to sort of log on to it and figure out how to use it. So there's some education, some testing, some trial and error that you need to be upfront with people about. And this is a case in which federal officials did not seem to sufficiently communicate that there were going to be some problems to work through.
All right. Well, Jack, thank you so much for coming on. This is a really fascinating story, and I hope this does get resolved and that, you know, everyone gets paid. Jack Fitzpatrick covers the government here for us at Bloomberg Government. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That'll do it for today's episode of On the Merits. It was produced by myself, David Schultz. Our editor today was Andrew Satter, and our executive producer is Josh Block. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
If you're a litigator, finding relevant docket filings is crucial. Pinpoint winning arguments faster with Bloomberg Law. Our market-leading docket coverage has been enhanced with AI-driven search and analytics, lightning-fast customized notifications, and expanded state court coverage. And we've substantially increased our litigation news coverage, so you'll always be in the know. Smart litigators rely on Bloomberg Law. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com today and get everything you need to secure big wins.